Good morning. And every Wednesday in our 7 o'clock hour, we welcome in studio Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, encompassing 10 counties and the city of Pittsburgh. Rich, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Lot going on these days.
Wow.
Understatement.
We have a long list. Let's just start with, and Paul and I talked about this earlier, mail-in balloting. We know 4 years ago, because of COVID, it was the first time that people could do this as a general election practice, and you had how many mail-in ballots in 2020?
In Allegheny County, we had 343,000 mail-in ballots that were brought in. 273,000 for Joe Biden and 66,000 for Donald Trump. As of now, and this didn't count yesterday's last-minute rush. Yesterday was the last day you could apply for a mail-in ballot. It's
right.
Around 255,000 that have applied.
That's still pretty robust.
Yes, because you remember 4 years ago, a lot of people wanted to vote by mail because we were in the midst of the pandemic.
Right.
They did not want to go to the polls. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot more people are comfortable, yet have chosen the convenience of doing the mail-in ballot. The Postal Service is suggesting that you mail in today. However, it just has to be postmarked Tuesday, November 5th.
No.
No?
It has to be received by 8 o'clock, November 5th.
So
if it's postmarked on the 3rd but doesn't get there until the 7th, that vote will not count.
So this is a really important, if you want your vote to count and you have a mail-in ballot, just send it in today.
Or you can take it to the drop boxes that are out there. There are drop boxes that are around the county, the most prominent one. And yesterday you saw the line at the county office building on Ross Street.
Yeah, it did. And a lot of people participating. Good to see so many people are active. But the big question then is, if I want to drop off a ballot, do I have to show ID to do that, or can I just drop it in?
You can drop it in, but you can only drop it in for yourself. You cannot take your spouses or your kids. Now, you can do that at a mailbox. You can take to the post office your spouses and mail it. But to go to a drop box, you can only do it if you are the voter.
And again, it has to be received on Tuesday.
Yes.
Remember former Governor Wolf got in trouble because his wife took his ballot, of all things.
Of all people, yes.
Of all people, the governor. But in the meantime, that's really important notes. And then, of course, I was looking at the weather. This weather has been crazy good for us. Just looking ahead at Tuesday, 75 and sunny.
There will be no excuse. So, not that anybody's right. not going to vote.
No snow, no rain, no issues with the weather to yes. stop you from getting there on Tuesday if you're voting in person.
Yeah, we have in Allegheny County, we have about 900,000 registered voters. And 4 years ago, almost 720,000 people voted. That's a very, very high percentage. And I anticipate the same amount. The other thing I think when people look on Tuesday night as they watch the returns.
Okay.
4 years ago, we had something called the Red Mirage. And that showed that the Republican, Donald Trump, had a huge lead, if you remember.
Early. Sure.
Early in Pennsylvania, about 500,000 votes. But that was before the mail-ins were counted. And 4 years ago, it was so new that it took a long time for counties, including Allegheny, to count their mail-in ballots. So you are getting results Thursday, Friday of that week. I anticipate that on Tuesday, next Tuesday, we'll have something called the Blue Mirage because the mail-in votes will be counted immediately. I saw the county executive the other day, County Executive Emerata. She's fully confident that Allegheny County will be able to post their results of the mail-ins right after 8 o'clock. So you're going to see, most likely, a fairly significant lead for Harris. But then when the in-person votes start to get counted at 9 o'clock, 9:30, later on in the evening, you'll see just the opposite of what happened 4 years ago.
However, you are anticipating more Republicans using the mail-in ballot option.
You're already seeing that. I think 4 years ago, yes, it was about 80 to 20, Democrat to Republican. Now it's probably closer to 2 to 1. So, yes, I think the Republican Party has made an effort to get people to do the early voting or mail-in voting, however you want to call it. And you will see more of that this year, yes.
All right, we got a lot to cover, including you're going to meet the founder of the Keystone Place Collaborative. What is that?
This is about space. I mean, we're talking about the futuristic jobs. We've been talking about AI and robotics, but we have a huge space collaborative here in southwestern Pennsylvania. Not just the work that goes in going to the moon and going to Mars, but all the materials that are made in those ships. A lot of them come from western Pennsylvania, manufactured by folks that we live around.
That even dates back to Man on the Moon with Rockwell and some of the companies. We have a great legacy.
We do, and we're seeing that this industry, which is close to a $500 million industry nationwide, we anticipate over the next decade it'll double to a $1 trillion industry. And again, we want those jobs right here in southwestern Pennsylvania. So we're going to hear from Justine Kuznicka, who's the leader of the Space Collaborative, in a little bit, and tell us a little more about what they just had a big conference. And let us know how it's going to benefit this region.
Coming up next with Rich Fitzgerald on the Big K Morning Show. Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. And just a moment, you're going to meet the founder of the Keystone Place Collaborative. Meanwhile, you had mentioned to me a couple of things that really caught my interest. Mitsubishi growing in the region. A lot of people are like, I didn't know they were here.
Well, they have 800 jobs in Warrendale that they've been making things and developing things, and they're going to add another 200 with an $88 million investment that they're going to be making in the region to expand their manufacturing of switchgear. We've talked about how the electrification of this region and this country is way under what it needs, and it doesn't meet the needs. So the amount of work that's going to have to be done to improve the electrical grid and to build these data centers and the AI that's going to be needed is insatiable. We talked about that Mean Springs last week, the 600 right. jobs that are going to be coming here. This is just adding on to that. And I think you're going to continue to see these type of announcements of expansion of manufacturing and electrification here in this region.
So when you hear Mitsubishi, people might think automotive, but in this case, they're kind of like a company that does a lot of different things.
They do a lot of different things, electrical power, and they've been part of the group that's a part of the Allegheny Conference and some of the things that are going on here in jobs in this region.
Speaking of jobs and what's going on in the region, we welcome Justine Kuznicka. How do I say that? Kuznicka.
I think I got that right.
Justine, my apologies. Good morning. Hang on just a second. There you are. Speaking of technology.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Justine.
We can put people and things on the moon, but sometimes you can't get a phone call on the radio. But
so, Justine, you just had a big conference. I don't know that a lot of people know about how big how space and the economy is here in southwestern Pennsylvania. Tell us a little bit about, number one, the conference, but tell us about what the future for space jobs here in western Pennsylvania is.
Sure. So we're actually very excited about the prospects of Southwest Pennsylvania in the context of space. People may know of the company called Astrobotic Technology on the north side, which is a sole space company building lunar landers and doing a heck of a lot more than that. They're doing a lot of power, lunar infrastructure projects. They're probably best known for the Peregrine mission that was flown to the moon last year. But when we took a look at the broader Southwest PA region, there was a lot more happening that's very exciting. And so in 2019, we formed the Keystone Space Collaborative. It's a nonprofit 501c3 focused on growing the space industry, not just in Pennsylvania, but Ohio and West Virginia. We saw that, you know, we have a certain shared history of manufacturing, of advanced technology, and of real assets in the R&D universities around the three states. And a lot of those states were doing already work in the space industry. But here in Southwest PA, we have the University of Pittsburgh that just announced a program called Pitt Space, which really rounds up all of their space research and development activities, and that'll be growing. Carnegie Mellon has a NASA Center for Advanced Technology that's focused more on software and AI on the space side. And then there's we're surrounded by, you know, I would say over 100 suppliers that supply to the space industry or that are funded by NASA or DOD for space-related work just in, I would say, the three-county area of Allegheny, Butler, and Beaver counties. And that's a significant number. And then when we expand that to the rest of the three states, we have over 770 prime recipients of NASA and DOD space-related contracts. So to us, that was a real clear there. We have universities like Ohio State, Penn State, we have that are doing space work, University of Cincinnati, West Virginia University. And so about once a year, we have gathered all of the space universities, space companies, government folks, economic development folks to get together and really in our name, it's collaborate on celebrating the opportunity of this region as it relates to growing a space industry and hearing about what that, you know, common regional narrative might look like. And that's what we did on Monday and Tuesday this week.
The other thing that I think that's happening here as well, not only are we excited about, you mentioned all the jobs, over 700 companies, 100 suppliers and in the tri-state region, you're getting kids excited with the Moonshot Museum, allowing young people to really learn about the exciting things around space exploration and landing on the moon, landing on Mars.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
The things that are going. Tell us a little bit about the museum.
I am so excited about the Moonshot Museum. That is also on the north side. It's actually co-located with Astrobotic Technology, and it is designed to be really a unique living lab for kids and for the public to be able to come in and experience a space career readiness experience. But what they can also see is there's a large clear glass between the museum and Astrobotic's clean room. So Astrobotic, whenever they're building one of their missions, are building it in the clean room, and kids have a real opportunity to see how the magic is made. And it demystifies this concept that missions are done, you know, one by the U.S. government only, two at NASA or SpaceX or elsewhere, but they can be done here in Southwest Pennsylvania. And we just brought on a wonderful executive director, Dr. Jamise Brown, who is the first Black woman to run a museum of this kind in the space industry. And she's fantastic. She's been bringing the local community in droves to really share the story of the possibility of a space career for kids of Southwest PA.
Now, Justine, as people are stressed out right now over the election, and I've heard some people say if their candidate doesn't win, they're leaving the country. Are there any possibilities these folks are going to be going into outer space now? Are there opportunities for people that might not like the way the election goes next week?
Well, not quite yet, and probably we're not going to be launching anyone from Southwest PA, but I can appreciate that sentiment. However, I want to offer a calming, happy note to folks, which is the space industry is actually incredibly nonpartisan, and you know, the conference was a great example of that. We had Senator Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia, who has been a staunch advocate for our work, with us on Monday to kick off the conference, and Congressman Chris DeLuzio came to close down the conference. You know, we had Matthew Cartwright from the Scranton area, Congressman Cartwright, speak to us, and we have an entire collection and collaboration of Republicans, Democrats, independents, everyone. You know, kind of politics don't really matter when you're talking about the space economy and the space industry, and it's something that everyone can rally around because it is so inspirational. It's really a on-ramp to STEM for children. It is, you know, I think everyone of a certain age remembers where they were when they saw the Apollo mission, you know, that took the Eagle down to the lunar surface with Neil and Buzz. And that powerful unifying moment is, I think, something that we can look to and celebrate, especially now.
Yeah, and especially in this Pittsburgh region, we have so many firsts to go along with that. So, Justine, thank you.
Thanks, Justine.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Bye. Justine Kaznica, founder of Keystone Space Collaborative, right here in Pittsburgh. 7:38, this is the Big K Morning Show. In studio, every Wednesday at this hour, Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. And Rich, in the 10 counties, in the city in particular, you've heard a lot of talk about what can we do to this city. And then Governor Josh Shapiro announced last Friday, and you knew this was coming, a public-private partnership, a 10-year plan, $600 million deal to revitalize our city.
Yeah, the governor really put a lot of effort into this, a lot of political capital. His team at DCED, Secretary Siger, Lieutenant Governor Davis, they raised a lot of money privately. And the governor himself was making phone calls to corporate leaders in the region to say, look, we cannot let the second biggest city in this Commonwealth go down. We've got to make sure that we are investing enough. And, you know, the public-private partnership, the universities, the philanthropy, all came together, and the governor had a great event on Friday, in which it was packed down on 8th Street and Penn Avenue, and it really was a great success. And there's a lot of energy over the next 10 years, and I think whether you live in Pittsburgh or whether you even live in Allegheny County, you live in southwestern Pennsylvania, you know the importance of the core of this region, the corporate headquarters, where a lot of our cultural amenities are, obviously our sports teams, right here in the heart of this region. And it's been so vibrant, but, you know, since COVID, it's obviously had some challenges. And I think the governor wants to make sure he's going to do everything he can to make sure it gets revitalized.
Happy to hear this proactive plan. So give us some of the highlights. What exactly will we see happen, or what are some of the things that they think will really change the narrative?
There's about seven major buildings that where they're going to be doing some major investments, going from commercial office space to residential to get more people to move into downtown Pittsburgh. And we've seen the stories with the golf building. That's probably the most prominent of the ones that are going on, what Rugby Realty's trying to do to convert, again, one of our most iconic buildings for over a century. Or so many people have worked there, their parents worked there, that, you know, again, fell on tough times that has happened during the pandemic, people working at home, people not coming to downtown, converting that into a multi, you know, with a hotel, office, and residential. And you're going to see that in about six or seven buildings right in the Golden Triangle. We've seen a lot of success in this region in places like the Strip District, places like the North Shore, Lawrenceville. But the Golden Triangle has really suffered in the post-COVID era.
Strip District is a good example because for years it was the same. You had the old rundown terminal building. Penn Avenue has been iconic. People kind of like it. It's eclectic, you know, walk, and the weekends it's jammed down there. But now that they've redone that, and as you know, for people who haven't been, the infrastructure, 1,000 apartments and townhouses behind the new terminal, which is all new and open, from behind there to the river, all these new infrastructure things that and continue to go up. That's just one example of how you can really change an area of the city.
And when you think about that, that's only about 7 or 8 blocks from the convention center, from the Golden Triangle where it starts. So we've seen a tremendous amount of private investment, some public work on the infrastructure, as you mentioned, the terminal building, that they did a number of years ago. But yes, all the way back to the river, and then of course the River Trail that heads out, which ultimately we hope that to be the Erie to Pittsburgh Trail. But all those new high-end and mixed-use townhouses, condos, apartments, and the vibrancy, you can feel it. That's where Caitlin and I work every day, and you can actually feel it in the energy and the positive energy about people. And it's still has the flavor of Penn Avenue. That's right.
That's what I love.
Penn Avenue hasn't changed, where Woolies and Penn Mac and all those great DeLucas have been. You've seen more changes back toward the river. That's right.
Right. And I love that because you have both options. And people like that. There's no real cookie cutter businesses on Penn per se. And then you have some well-known brands, but a lot of cool stuff going on in the Strip District. And that's just one example.
And we need that to be replicated in our Golden Triangle because, again, so much with Heinz Hall, the Benedum, the Union Trust Building, obviously what's called Grant Street and Ross Street, Smithfield Street. There just needs to be some more energy. And we're excited what Point Park University is doing on the Monongahela River side of town. And this was happening over on the Allegheny River side of town. And, we saw what this region did 40 years ago when they came together to really create the cultural district, to clean up what used to be a bad place to go, Liberty Avenue, Penn Avenue. And again, the corporate leadership came together many, many years ago. We're seeing that again. And again, I give Governor Shapiro an awful lot of credit because he really put a lot of effort into this. And, knowing Josh and knowing the governor, he'll make sure that he continues to push. It wasn't a one and done with governor. He'll be making sure that we keep doing and the momentum will continue.
And coming up, Amazon's expansion and also a Brady Tunnel that's part of a trail. We'll get the details. Rich, I know this one's really close to your heart.
Since this is exciting.
You become quite the cyclist for people to do. It's with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. We talked about Mitsubishi growing jobs in Warrendale. What about Amazon?
Amazon continues to grow. We haven't heard that for a while, but yeah, they're going to add another couple hundred thousand square feet, which will probably be a few hundred jobs added on. They really like doing business in southwestern Pennsylvania and being so centrally located logistically. We've seen them grow their freight work and jobs out at Pittsburgh International Airport. So all good stuff when it comes to jobs. And the employment report, we didn't talk about it, but just came out. 18,000 jobs over the last month in this region. So unemployment continues to be very, very low, and employers are continuing to look and find workers. And you saw, I think it was UPMC that really ramped up the pay for nurses to try to attract.
Yes.
So the market is there for people to get jobs. And we talked about electrification and all kind of opportunities for young people to find jobs in this region.
Tomorrow, I'm going to have Jeff Nomers from the Building Trades. They have a big event coming up Friday and Saturday. We'll have some details on that. Speaking of jobs, and before you go, for those that don't know, Rich has become quite the trail cyclist, and you're excited about this Brady Tunnel.
Yeah, the Brady Tunnel is a over 100-year-old tunnel, 2,400 feet. It's part of the Pittsburgh to Erie Trail we're trying to continue to build. And so a number of the county commissioners from Armstrong County, Commissioner Fabian, Commissioner Shea, and myself are going to be biking for the opening tomorrow, 22 miles from Katanning to East Brady. So a lovely weather day. It looks like on Friday, it looks like it's going to be good. So you never know what you're going to have. But the trails have also become a huge economic impact, had a huge economic impact in this region.
Yeah, we talked about actor Russell Crowe when he was filming here, loved our trails, bragged about it on national TV. Good stuff. So, Rich, we'll see you next Wednesday.
Think anything will be happening by next Wednesday? We don't know. Well, all I know is that we quit having ads Wednesday, right? I don't know what's going to happen to the media companies that have really done pretty well economically on selling ads over the last couple of months.
I don't know what you're talking about. Caitlin O'Connor, thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
All right, we'll see you guys next Wednesday.